Hello, everybody. Welcome to News for the Soul. This is Daniel Brinkley.
This is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
Okay, everybody, take a deep breath. We know that we choose to come to this world, and we're chosen to come to this world, and we've come for breath. We breathe in for ourselves and out for spiritual unfoldment. And as we breathe these moments, let's open up our heart and open up our souls, and let the true awareness of News for the Soul make its impact now and forever.
Attention, like-minded business owner. Do you have an amazing solution? A product or service for the soul? Something we can't find out about in mainstream media? Then we have a solution for you. On May 23rd, News for the Soul is airing its first ever Solution for the Soul networking fundraiser show, and you could be one of our guests. This is an amazing opportunity to join host Nicole Whitney on the air to talk about your solution and share your information with the world. All guests must be restrained, and there is a fee to participate. All proceeds directly keep the News for the Soul show archived totally free for the world to hear, and all interviews are aired indefinitely online after the May 23rd show. To find out more, go to newsforthesoul.com and click on the Solution Show banner now. That's newsforthesoul.com. And don't let fear stand in your way. This could be your turn to shine in the News for the Soul spotlight.
Hello, this is Satyan Raja, and you're listening to News for the Soul, the opening your mind, your body, your being. Allow yourself to drench in this awesome information to evolve you to your next place.
We'll be back with more life-changing talk radio in a moment. Did you know that News for the Soul is home to the largest totally free life-changing audio resource on the World Wide Web? And did you know that journalist and single mom Nicole Whitney is single-handedly making this freely available for you to hear? That's why your support is critical to help keep News for the Soul totally free. You can help in several ways. Firstly, you can tell everyone you know about News for the Soul. So many people out there still do not know about this totally free life-changing resource. So do us, yourself, and your friends a favor and pass it on today. Secondly, financial support for News for the Soul helps keep the show going, whether it's through advertising, donations, or purchases of our exclusive audio and video packages, like the one and only Spoon Bending Kit, which will teach you how to bend metal with your mind for real. This support helps keep us on the air. Go to newsforthesoul.com now to find out more. We invite you to help us help the world, and thanks for tuning in. It's listeners like you who have made News for the Soul the number one life-changing talk radio show in the world, according to Google and AOL. Together, we are already making a difference in our world. So thank you for listening, and thanks in advance for your support. Now, let's get back to the show.
Good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained. Got that all covered again. Stephanie LaValle, she's the owner of the Magic Doorway into the Divine. 25 years ago, she said she had a life-altering mystical experience and human experience. that led her on a new journey that culminated into her current life path, her work, and this book. It's a magic doorway into the divine is the book, and magicdoorway.com is the website. That's where you go. Deborah LaValle. Deborah LaValle, welcome back to Meet for the Soul.
Thank you, Nicole. It's great to be back.
Absolutely. Well, I enjoyed our first conversation, and today we're going to be talking about the power of oneness. That's exciting, because, you know, as we were saying before we started the show, it's something we say, but not necessarily something many of us do, and kind of we intellectualize the concept, but I don't think we fully get it. So let's explore that. How did you come to the place of studying the power of oneness, first of all?
Well, I guess it began right after the Enlightenment experience that I had, which was at the very beginning of my journey, where my uterus grew back and I realized who I really was. And after that experience, when I went back to work, I remember looking at the people that I was working with. And I looked into their eyes and I thought to myself, oh my God, these are the eyes of the Creator staring at me. And their personality just began to float off in the background, and all I saw was love. I guess they thought I was a little bit odd because I couldn't stop staring. And this went on for quite a while. And I really had a sense of the oneness, and that the personality that we have is really insignificant in the big picture. So that was where it began. I've had other experiences since then of that oneness.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. When you get into, you know, I've been in several different kinds of, you know, seminars or groups, practices with, you know, enlightened community type people, and then you go back out into the mainstream, you're floating around on a whole different time zone, you know, and you just have this different awareness, and it's weird to see people that aren't there when you're there, and just kind of going and doing their thing in this half a seat place, you know,
yeah.
And that's sort of the default mode of mainstream society.
Yeah, because we just aren't educated in that way.
So, what is the power behind that one, Aspen?
Well, it moves and lives beyond duality and separation. In the power of oneness, there's no sense of good and bad, right and wrong. It's just a state of love.
Okay, so obviously the first thing that's going to come up for people about the, you know, again, this isn't like the concept we've talked about on infinitum, you know, but to really get, wow, you know, I mean, we just watched, like, for example, you know, Virginia massacre at the college, no good and bad. So how do we get to oneness? We're starting with a tough question, Deborah.
Exactly.
But, you know, I mean, that's the first thing that people are going to be thinking. It's going to stop them from hearing anything else we say today. So how do you get to oneness with the duality thing?
Well, everything we feel and experience can be used as a doorway to our divine self. So that, for example, ego is the problem, because that's what separates us from the oneness. Ego sort of edges God out, if you will. And it's like a disease that eats away at this oneness and creates separation. The symptoms of ego are greed, desire, anger, attachment, doubt, lust, etc. And we see a lot of that in our world. In fact, if we look inside, we see a lot of it inside ourselves. But if we come from the power of oneness, what do we do with the ego? And since we already are one, whether or not we're experiencing it doesn't matter. We can approach this ego, or this disease we call ego, or this separation. We can approach these symptoms from the angle of oneness. In other words, say we're experiencing greed or, well, let's start with greed. We can stop and remind ourselves. Greed can be used as a reminder, okay, so that we can stop and remind ourselves that we're, this greed is just there to remind us that we already are enough. And then we can use the antidote of gratitude in our life.
So how can we use this specifically in, like, in the example I was using about, you know, the massacre at the school?
Well, in this particular example, to take, for example, if you're a victim of something like that, I mean, the horror is unbelievable. And there's a certain process one has to go through. But even in that, even in an experience like that, there is oneness. We hear of people who have lost their children in horrible ways that have come to that experience of oneness through compassion and forgiveness. And again, it comes back to the fact that we're not the body. We're not limited by the body. It's easier, you know, said than experienced, but that is the truth.
Well, that's the thing to really get. That's our goal today, is really kind of have a glimpse of really conceiving this in the real world.
Yeah.
So, forgiveness, compassion. Because I'm trying to understand how, like, I guess it's not like a checklist, but it's an extreme example of employing the concept of oneness and non-duality.
Uh-huh.
And, I mean, and the example you used about, you know, when you have children that pass, and, I mean, it's just the most, it's hard to conceive of getting to that in a conscious way.
Uh-huh.
Without, you know, going there.
Well, I had a dream once, and somewhat like what we're talking about. And in the dream, I had actually murdered somebody.
Wow.
And it was very powerful. I didn't do it on purpose, as I recall. I was a man, I think, in that dream, and I had these big boots on, and I was in a fight with someone, and I kicked them into the water by mistake. And then I realized, oh my God, they're dead, and I don't know what to do about it. And I dragged the body and tried to hide it. I didn't know what else to do in this dream. And then the morning came, and strangely enough, I didn't wake up. I woke up, I got out of bed, but I couldn't be, it stayed with me, this dream, so much so that I didn't know, I couldn't figure out who I killed in this lifetime.
Mm.
And this terrible guilt and remorse and everything just stayed with me, and I couldn't leave my house. In the afternoon of that day, I remember just sitting there and asking for forgiveness and praying, please, I don't know how to, can you forgive me for this horrible, horrible thing I've done? And I sat for a while, and then I had this voice come to me so loud that it startled me. And it said, you are forgiven. And then I saw, as if again I was seeing through, you know, the eyes of oneness, God's eyes, however you want to frame it. And I saw this whole play, and I saw how we're just trying on costumes. And these things happen, as horrible as they are at this level. And all of this is inside of each one of us. We're murderers. We're saints.
Is that where the separation starts, you think, where we see, you know, this other thing over there that's bad, and we're not doing those things, so we're good. our perception that we're over here not murdering people, so we're good.
Yeah.
And they're over there, you know,
murdering people.
Right. How does one really bring that together?
Well, one thing I do in my work with people, and it seems to bring that together for them, is I ask them, what part of you is he? What part of you is she? And then we have to look inside and go, oh my God, that's really me I'm looking at. Everything that we're seeing in our world today is inside of us.
So how do we really see that inside ourselves? Like how do, I mean, you know, I'm not out there shooting people, so
yes.
How do I really?
We can experience the anger that we have.
Mm-hmm.
We all have little thoughts like, geez, I could kill that person. you have to look at all of that. Because somebody just channels it through them. Like this incident that just happened. Someone just collectively acted out on horrible thing.
It's interesting too, because the first time you and I talked on the air, it was the day that that was going on.
Uh-huh, I know.
And we both felt energetically.
We both felt very disturbed.
Off, yeah.
Yeah.
Very much so.
I thought of that immediately.
And it was interesting. I mean, see, I can get that part of it. You know, the oneness, the connection. I mean, we're nowhere near Virginia. I was here in Vancouver,
right.
Canada. And yet, you know, we felt it.
We felt it, yeah.
So I can understand that kind of connection. It's trying to make the leap into, you know, having that kind of darkness in us.
Uh-huh.
Tough. So do you specifically do shadow work?
No. No. That's just one of the things that I do with most people when they're having trouble with their relationships.
Maybe it'll be easier to start there. Let's start there. Because that's a good example of the relationship, the typical sort of mainstream conflict mode. You know, they're going to a therapist because they can't get along. He's leaving the toilet seat up or whatever is going on, right?
Mm.
And it's like, well, he does this and he does that and then it. And
right,
so
right.
It's that kind of level of separation. Maybe why don't we talk about that?
Okay. Well, I'll give you an example in my own life of that. My mom was really bothering me. She was very self-absorbed and I was really upset with her. I just thought, I just can't take this anymore. I'm so tired of this self-absorbed woman. Every time I talk to her, it's all about her and she never asks me a question. Blah, 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 right? So one day it just got to such an extreme that I just couldn't take it anymore. And I thought, okay, what do I do with this? How can I get into that state of oneness instead of this separation? How can I get out of this disturbance with her? So I said, okay, I'm going to pray. And I just prayed and I said, please, please help us with this pain of self-absorption. And then the first thing I was shown was where I was self-absorbed. And I thought, oh, okay. And then a few other people that were around me that had been bothering me at that time had a similar issue and how they were also self-absorbed. And I thought, okay, let's put all of us in the pile now and offer this up. Offer this pain of the self-absorption up and help us all become free. And then I left it alone and I went into a really deep state of bliss after I did that, but I didn't think much more about it. But I did feel better. I felt quite blissful. And then the next day, I get a phone call from my mom and she says, I have to apologize to you for something. And I said, well, what? What is it? And she said, I feel I've been very self-absorbed lately. So it, just at the very practical level, this does work. If we can find it in ourselves, if we can find that very quality in ourselves that we're looking at out there, we can bring it to a level of love, oneness, and compassion.
So, well, that's interesting. I was just talking to last night, the other day on the air, with Joe Vitale, and he's just both with Dr. Len. Are you familiar with Ho'oponopono?
I don't think so.
But similar to what you're talking about, where, you know, what is it in me that's making that exist, mm-hmm. where I'm able to perceive it?
Right.
It's like ultimate self-responsibility for everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it sort of takes it to a whole different level. That's not quite a lot of people's comfort zone, but I think it's the same kind of concept of what you're talking about. And I've had, you know, interesting experiences with that where you, you know, I have a teenage daughter, God help me, and I'll get caught up in that, you know, stuff, the interactive day-to-day, hormones and everything, right? So that's a lot of work. And I'll notice I'll have like a completely different result happen just by shifting my thinking without ever conversing or saying it loud to anyone.
Okay.
You know, just in my own mind by switching around the perception of something, and the real world result changes.
Yeah.
It's like real magic almost. So that's the place that you're trying to relay.
Exactly. Well, it's sort of shamanic in a way. You know, we can become like a magician when we know the power of oneness, because it's just really the ordinary becoming extraordinary in that an ordinary interaction, say, with your daughter would be maybe of the lower, anger or frustration or whatever, but you've chosen to take it to, no, I don't want to separate from her, I want to feel okay with her.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just that simple.
So what is the process for someone listening? You know what I'd like to do, actually, is this is the perfect kind of thing that we can open up for questions for people
mm-hmm.
to send in. Say they have a specific issue going on, exactly like the kind of stuff we're talking about, or recover, you know?
Right.
Let's take some tough questions. And how do you actually implement that in your actual, you know, real-world life
right
now? And maybe that would be something we could do for our next show. And I'll just give out an email address, actually, right now while we're talking. And people can be thinking about the questions, send them in right now. So if you send your question into magicdoorway@newsforthesoul.com. So that's the email address to send your questions to for the next show. And we'll get Deborah back on and we'll actually answer some of these specifics. Rather than me asking all the questions, you know. I'll take a break. You guys ask some questions. Send me some doobies. Let's bring it on. So magicdoorway@newsforthesoul.com.
Mm-hmm.
But is it that simple, just kind of looking for a better feeling stock?
A better feeling
stock. Like, you know, the usual kind of thing is rumble, well, I hate it when I do that. You know, do you find a better feeling thought, like cancel that thought and find a better, like what's the process to turn something like that around?
Well, often it comes to a crisis point first when these things come up because they really irritate you. Often we walk around with these things under the surface, boiling, but they're under the surface. But then when they come to a crisis point, it's usually when there's enough power behind them to make the shift.
And then what? Like, how do you make the shift? What's the process?
Okay, so you're really angry. Anger is another doorway into the divine, which is what I talk about in the book. At the point of the greatest anger, I was able to move into a state of enlightenment. And why? Because I had a focus. It's about intention. It's about focus. Because everything is either a contracted form of God or an expanded form of God. So if we're in a contracted form of God, if we go inside and go, okay, I'm in a contracted form here, which is our first step. I'm in a contracted form. This is just day-to-day life. I'm not talking about.
Let's break that down. Like contracted as in like in fear, in lack, in.
Let's just take anger, because anger is a big big issue for everyone these days.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really angry. There's this huge energy that's running through my body, and I've just been raised. So if I can just stop in that moment and go, okay, I'm angry, and you know, let it move through, feel the anger, don't try to push it down, because that never works, and take the label, stay with it for a while, but then take the label anger off of it, so you're just left with this raw energy moving through your body, which feels like power in a sense. So here's this energy moving through. Now, at this point, you start to focus it and focus it towards the truth. Focus it and ask for something higher. Ask it to be brought to the love. And at first it doesn't work, you know, at first it's sort of, oh, it's not, I still want to hang on to that anger, you know, because we're still attached to it. But stay with it, to stay with it, become like a warrior in it. And stay with that focus, and I want to know the truth here of this anger. And if you wait, and you really are committed to trying to do this, this can actually make a shift. This is where you become like a magician or like a shaman, or, you know, it's really becoming a master in your own life in that way.
So you're making a conscious choice to move it.
Yeah.
How have you, give me some examples of how you've done this yourself.
Well, I've had some interesting experiences, even. Well, once I was in a healing session, and well, this might be an extreme example of a shape-shifting.
Shape-shifting?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, you've got my attention now.
Okay. Well, this brings it back home in another way. I was in a healing session years ago, and we were, you know, how you move into a certain a frequency when you're having healing. And the fellow that was giving me the session said, oh my God, look in the mirror. And I looked at the mirror and I was no longer human, I was an owl. And I had spots and I had all the, you know, qualities of an owl. And I couldn't believe it.
An actual owl?
An actual owl.
Like your face? Or
my face, my whole body. Even I felt exactly the same. But I was an owl. The only difference is that I bent right backwards, right so far back that, I mean, I could never do it, you know, in my own body. And so this went on for a while, and then I came back to normal and came away with the realization that, you know, plants, animals, other humans, the earth itself, all that exists, is of the same essence. So, the same thing then with, you know, anger, lust, greed. It's like everything is, it's like emotions are like beacons of the soul's longing for God. And if we look at it that way, we can use everything to take us to that source. So if whatever we're feeling, if we know, oh good, here's a big feeling, now I can take this to the source. Oh, here's this person triggering this for me, good. Here's an opportunity for me to go to the source. Here's an opportunity for me to become one with something bigger than this anger and greed or this lust or whatever.
Okay, I gotta ask about the owl thing.
Okay.
I gotta ask more about the owl thing.
Or the owl thing, okay, yeah.
You're right, that's an extreme example, but holy cow. Okay, so is this the only time that's ever happened to you?
No.
No. Okay, why shape-shifting, first of all?
Why?
Why? Why do you think it's happening?
Why did I think it was happening?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think I get these big experiences to teach me lessons because I think I'm, you know, more like a drama queen. It's like my initial experience. I get a new uterus and then, you know, and then I shape shift. But I think really the only thing that I, when I look at it, everything's for the one. I know, what would it matter if I turned into an owl or an eagle or this or that? It's, you know, the ego just gets pumped up about those things. But the real reason is to really experience and appreciate the oneness of everything here. The oneness in that. It's like, for example, I was watching Al Gore not long ago, and I was so appreciative of what he was doing. And but I thought to myself, well, you know, unless we understand what the earth is, how can we become one with it? You know, I've had experiences where I've been able to put my hands on the rock of the earth, and I could feel the essence of the earth. And so much love exists in this orb that we sit on. It's phenomenal. So that's why I think oneness is so important, and that's probably why I have this shape-shifting experiences and the earth experiences, because I really feel strongly that unless we really get that we're all one, we can never put an end to war or destruction on the earth or relationship traumas, family problems, any of it.
No, absolutely, it makes sense. I'm just trying to get the whole taking it to a physical level thing. What do you think the true nature of our physical self is then?
The true nature of our physical self?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I feel it's like a vehicle. It's a vehicle. Everything that we are and everything that we experience is really designed to take us back to the source. Every feeling we have, our whole physical being is that's the purpose of coming into a body. Now we may not do it while we're here, but we've just by living here we've evolved somehow.
But if you're able to change the form of your body while you're still in it, what is its true nature?
Oh, its true nature is, well, it's illusion in a sense. That's part of the shape-shifting, is that it's not static. It looks like it is, but the cells are moving all the time.
So what is it that's holding the form?
What is it that's holding the form?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if we, again, when we go, you say in the deep meditation, when you go into a meditation and you rise high enough, then you no longer experience the form.
Yes, but not everyone turns into an owl.
No.
I'm trying to sort of say the logical.
The logical. Well, I can't give you logical on the owl, I don't think.
But, so I mean, it only goes to suggest that if, you know, an altered state produces an altered form physically, not metaphorically, but physically. And that's just some pretty weird things happen, you know, where I just question everything that we think we know. That's why I'm sort of following along the line of questioning here for a moment to see where it goes. Because, you know, we believe everything because we've been told.
Right.
That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always questioning where the line is and where it is as far as what we think we know.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems really relevant in that sense because, I mean, on the subject of oneness and understanding what the actual earth is, that would be where the next question would go, is what's holding that from and what is that really?
Well, again, that's a big metaphysical question. And really the only way that we can discover those truths is through deep meditation. Because then we begin to see. Because there are inner moons, inner suns, all sorts of things on the inside that we experience. So it's, I would say it's a mystery. There's a mystery to this. It's beyond the mind. There's no way the mind can really comprehend a lot of it.
Mm-hmm. And I'm So, what you mentioned as far as, you know, how can we be one with ourselves, with others, with the world, and really, you know, fix or change the situation and the world when we don't know what its true nature is or what it is. So, what have you done as far as sessions on that?
Well, really, I think, again, it's always back to when we are out of our egos, which is the separation. That's the big separation. When there's no ego, then there's only oneness. When there's ego, then we've got all sorts of compartments and whatnot to define everything by. So really what we need to do more than anything is work on our ego.
And how do we do that?
Well, by noticing them, by recognizing what, I mean, I talk a lot about ego in the book, by really recognizing what these things are, because people just think ego is unconceited, or, you know, that person thinks a lot of themselves or whatever. But ego is something much greater. It's the actual separation from source and self. And when we, it's where we say, I am this, I am that. The minute we add something to the I am, then we're starting to move into ego. So if we back up to the place that comes before that, then we can start to work with our ego and begin to notice it and watch it. And I think we don't understand that greed is not really a great thing. I mean, just by the look of our world right now, we don't understand that's really causing all the trouble.
And the, well, from that competition place, are you talking about having wants of anything in general, or are you talking about, you know, competition and accumulation?
Well, I think that competition, accumulation, the desire nature, I think it's just a simple thing. If we can understand that ego is okay, as long as we use it in the right way, as long as we use it as a reminder that we're going in the wrong direction, that we need to go in the direction of something higher, something better, rather than in the direction of, as I said, those enemies. They call them the enemies. It's greed, lust, pride. Pride is a big one.
There's tons of aspects to some of those things.
Well, sure. It's not that there's nothing that is negative. Everything is, again, I'm coming from the oneness with it. There's nothing wrong with anything as long as we put it in the right direction. As I was saying earlier, like greed can be a reminder that, hey, I am enough. I have enough. And then to be grateful for what we do have. So when you start to feel the greed, you can go, wait a minute. Stop. Where am I going with this? Because we do know inside. We've got a soul in there that's always watching. And it knows when we're off in the wrong direction. It's not like we don't know. We do know. It's just finding that little place that knows and goes, no, let's wait, stop. So reason. I feel that the only way that we could ever make any real change here is that if people could begin to meditate, begin to understand the ego, work on the ego, so that there something can happen. I mean, it doesn't mean that you're going to work forever on the ego and never have any oneness. Every time you open a door, every time you take a different direction, you're moving into the oneness, and you have an experience of it.
Okay, I think our idea about getting them to send in specific questions is a good one, because we can open up the floor here and get specific examples. If they want to put a question to you and you have your answer, I think within the next several weeks, you give it a 2-week time frame starting right now. You can email magicjoey@newsforthesoul.com, send your question in, and let's achieve the oneness wherever we can, or get some more insight on that. So, send your question. I'm going to ask you my tough question to get the ball rolling. And in my drama queen style, it's good to go home. And I'm always saying that, and, you know, feeling is a good thing. I have had this strange thing happen to me since I was 11. And I've had a bit of insight on it, you know, doing one of those illumination intensives, as you mentioned, as well as my training with David Warhouse, doing a lot of remote viewing. I've sort of had, you know, the anxiety lessened around this issue. But I just had another episode last night, and it was extremely disturbing. Now, what it is like going to, say, an illumination intensive, and you have a direct experience of your true nature, you're completely connected instantly, but the volume is on like 11. So it's like going, I'm the core of the life, and I'm, you know, in this case, I was a belly dance class, and all of a sudden it was like, whoosh. And it's almost like, we all talk about this oneness and connection and divine and how the blissful, but this is like horrifying. It's like bad acid trip or something. It scares the hell out of me. I almost have I can't breathe. I'm just trying to make a thought. It's like a complete awareness of that place that we're connected to with the volume at 11. Have you ever heard of that? Have you ever had that?
Yeah.
What the hell is that? And how do you not freak out, first of all?
Well, I think you will freak out.
I do every time.
But that's okay, because in the fear is also a doorway. This is where you stay with the fear, you let yourself feel it to the max. Because the thing that we're most afraid of is God.
That's an interesting feeling.
So to stay with the fear and let it just, move through, because it's good. It's okay. You know, fear is false evidence of feeling real. This you've probably heard a billion times.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just staying with it and let it just move through. I used to do a practice where I would sit with it and just let it burn right through. And eventually everything can turn to that bliss.
So, do you have any insight on what that, and I want to hear from people, if there's people listening that have had that, I want to hear from them, because, I've been kind of alone with this since I was 11, and it's a major thing. I just came out of class and kind of pretend everything was normal, and I can feel like it was a major thing, and I couldn't tell anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like almost like popping out of your body,
mm-hmm.
Without any warning or something. It's highly disturbing. I'm going to go around to hell and back, because it's almost like you're not here. Just in an instant, poof.
There are meditations that just people meditate for a long time to have that experience.
I know, it's ironic. I can't make a stop.
But it's okay.
It's
sounds like there's something like that. Sometimes a master that has been there and done that is can be of assistance. Can take you, because you know your soul is wanting to go higher.
It's almost like a powerful magnetic pull, like it's just like, I'm going, no. Yeah. It's better for it to start happening.
Are there any sounds or lights that go with it?
The first time it was like a voice, I am here.
Uh-huh.
And it was just like, I'm an 11 years old, you know, and that brain can't, going, you're real weird. What the hell? So, I mean, it was just incredibly dramatic, and I can't even describe that feeling. It just feels so icky. I mean, bad acid trip is the only kind of thing I can think of. It's just that complete loss of control, not knowing where you're going. What if I don't come back? You know? Or what if I go into a psychotic episode because I can't come back? Like, the fear is just kind of like, hanging on with your metaphysical.
Well, that's usually when a master can be assistant. Because they know how to direct you. That's the purpose of having, a guru or whatever. It has to be one that knows where they're going.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Because they know how to direct you. Because it's a whole terrain. When we move up through the different realms.
And that's the thing that they always throw me, is everyone's always talking about, oh, the connection to bliss, you know?
Yeah.
They bliss my ass.
Yeah, no, that's not. There's a lot of non-blissful experience that one can go through as you move, up in day-to-day life, We have to work with our fellow beings, but in something like that, that's when our master's important.
Okay. So from coming back to the original question of how to find oneness with that, that's how then is get a guide.
I would say get a guide, but in the meantime, don't run from the fear.
Yeah.
Just be with it. Just let it take the label fear off of it and be with the experience itself.
Because that's what people have said to me over the years. Oh, that's so good. And it's this whole thing of one thing to say, another thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's like being in the midst of being killed or something.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so good. Okay.
Well, these things have happened before, in our past. And sometimes they recur again.
Well, I was trying to come from that standpoint of, well, I've always come back before, so, I'm trying to find the best thing back.
Yeah, it's hard to put that into the right place of the mind.
It is, because the mind's going, we don't know anything.
Yeah, it's still visceral.
Well, it's interesting to know that other people have had this experience, and that's another good feeling, Scott. I'll do my fault. Later.
Why is it showing that, we're not alone?
Yes, that's great. Do you ever feel alone when that's happening? Or do I ever feel alone?
Yeah.
Because it's just like you're not here. You're completely disconnected from here all of a sudden.
Yeah.
In complete terror,
Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Okay. So, all right, now, how does one find a guide for that? What section of the Yellow Pages is that under?
Well, that's there are guides. It'd be something we could talk about later, I would think.
Okay. All right, we will do that. But if anyone who's listening has ever had that experience, I want to hear from you. Let's be one together and explore that further, because enough is enough of that. It's not going to go away.
If it hasn't been going away, then it's time for a guide. There's something you can do in the meantime is try and be with the fear, but if that's not working, it's definitely time for the guide.
That's above and beyond the call of duty. All right, so let's do that then. Let's leave it there. Let's put it out to the audience. We want your questions you know, whatever it is that's going on for you, whatever your, that issue is, and have issues, and or to just question about how to employ this oneness to feel that, the power of that that way of life. Let's get some practical questions. Put them to Devil It All. Email, send them to magicdoorway@newsforthesoul.com. Send them all away, you know, the show, because we'll put the best questions together for the next show, and we'll have to work on it in 2 weeks and make it happen. So let's do that. Thank you, Devil, for being here today.
Thank you.
In the meantime, themagicdoorway.com.
Attention, Indigos, healers, cultural creatives, and agents of social change. Are you ready to act upon your inner wisdom and step forward into your life purpose? With 16 years of hands-on real-world results, empowerment specialist Robert Moonsong is available to help as a visionary guide to authentic spiritual growth and awakening. To subscribe for free or find out about upcoming teleclasses, visit robertmoonsong.com now. That's robertmoonsong.com.
Who are you? Why are you here? What is the meaning of life? These burning questions have plagued mankind throughout our existence. How would you like to experience a process that would allow you to have some of the answers? Answers that would cause you to live with higher awareness and deeper authenticity from now on? Well, you can. Warrior Sage is offering an experiential 5-day enlightenment workshop called Illumination Intensive. Regularly about $3,000 to attend, Satyan Raja of Warrior Sage is offering this life-changing 5-day course to New for the Soul listeners totally for free. That's right. The tuition has been completely waived for all New for the Soul listeners. Satyan says this experience is so profound, he wants to share it with the world. So don't miss out on this special opportunity. To have your own direct experience of awakening with Warrior Sage, go to IlluminationIntensive.com now and tell the News for the Soul sent you. That's IlluminationIntensive.com.
In December 2005, News for the Soul host Nicole Whitney experienced the most dramatic, life-changing psychic reading of her life. In that brief 10-minute mini-session, she released years of emotional baggage when Terry O'Connor connected with a recently deceased family member, bringing Nicole a life-changing message from beyond the grave. Since that fateful day, Nicole has invited Terry O'Connor on as a regular News for the Soul guest to do readings on the air. But you do not have to wait. Terry is available for private sessions right now. Nicole has laughingly suggested wearing goggles and a helmet for these sessions because of the powerful energy that seems to come through Terry when she's doing a reading. But don't take our word for it. Experience it for yourself. So pack up your goggles and helmet and book your life-changing session with Terry O'Connor today. Go to InsideOut-OutsideIn.com. That's InsideOut-OutsideIn.com.
How would you like to learn how to bend metal with your mind for real? Well, you can. News for the Soul is home to the one and only Spoon Bending Kit, an instantly downloadable digital gift that contains 2 hours of audio and visual instruction designed to get your mind out of the way and teach you how to truly affect solid matter just with your thoughts. Find out once and for all how you are affecting your reality with every thought you think. Don't let anything block you from creating the life that you want. Download the newsforthesoul.com Spoon Bending Kit today. Just go to newsforthesoul.com right now and click on the bent spoon. It's newsforthesoul.com.
Hey, this is Dave Morehouse, and you're listening to News for the Soul. Enlightened, having knowledge and spiritual insight, freedom from illusion. Enlightened, dating, an idea whose time has come. It is time for relationships that transcend the old fear-based paradigm of power plays, control dramas, stereotypes, and conditioned response. EnlightenedDating.com offers introductions and support for conscious dating. EnlightenedDating.com is about synchro destiny rather than the volume of memberships or regional locations. Enlightened daters operate in the realm of all possibilities, far beyond limitation of the conditioned mind. And it is not just a meeting place. Inside, you'll access the best in support and training from conscious relational experts from around the world. Ongoing interviews, webinars, and more support the search and journey in conscious relationships. All free, 24/7, for all members at enlightenedating.com. LifeChangingTV.com is a model of conscious journalism, documenting evolution of human consciousness through high-quality video programming. A combination of metaphysical awareness and an open, honest sense of inquiry relay the true story through alternative media that will blow your mind. Founders Nicole Whitney and Peter Williams started the channel after meeting in March 2005. John Kimberly's journalism background and Peter's experience as a cameraman for CNN. Since the project began, they have been able to interview many luminaries from around the world, including Stuart Wilde.
This has been News for the Soul with Nicole Whitney. Visit us anytime online at www.newsforthesoul.com, where you can listen to all our previously aired shows at any time and so much more. Have a great week, and remember, what you focus on expands.